We're going to have a look at this story that we've just read. It's on page 1061 of the Bibles. If you haven't brought a Bible with you, there's one on the ends of the pews. If we can bring the slide up, I'm going to have it down there for me as well, hopefully. So if I keep looking over there, it's not because I'm particularly fascinated by David's shirt. It's because I got all the slides there. I'm going to pray and then we'll just launch into this. So let's just spend a moment asking God to help us understand what's going on in this story. Heavenly Father, will you come now by your Holy Spirit? Will you open our eyes? Will you open our minds so we can see what it is to have an encounter with you? Will you speak to us this morning? Amen. If you're new to the church, we've been going through a series called Encounters with God. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at people, men and women in the Bible who have encounters with God. See, clues in the title. And we've got to the point today where we're looking at these two disciples on the road from Jerusalem who have an encounter with Jesus. Let's just do a quick recap of where we've got to so far in the story. So, Jesus has been killed. This story happens on a Sunday. On the Friday, Jesus gets killed. Gets killed very, very nastily on a cross, crucified, nails through the hands and the feet. It's not nice. He gets buried. And on the Sunday morning, the women, who are part of his posse, as it were, the women come to the tomb and they find it empty. And last week we looked at how one of those women, Mary Magdalene, had an encounter with Jesus. If you missed that sermon, it's on the website. You can go there, you can download it. So that's the background to this story. So today's encounter. It's the afternoon. The people, the women and the other disciples who have been to the tomb and have found it empty and are like, something weird is going on. They've come back, they've told all the friends of Jesus that something weird is going on. So the two disciples, now they're not like apostles, they're just followers of Jesus, are on the road to a village 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And 7 miles, you'll find out, is just about an afternoon's walk. Okay? This is not the days when they can just jump into a Land Rover and do it in 2 minutes. Or however fast you're driving. So that would be really fast, wouldn't it, in 2 minutes? But there we go. They're discussing what's gone on in the past few days. And specifically, the events of this morning. The tomb where Jesus, who should have been dead, because when you get nailed to those things, you end up very dead. Indeed, the tomb where Jesus was dead is empty. And they're talking about it. And besides them comes Jesus. Now we know it's Jesus, okay? We know it's Jesus because the Bible says it's Jesus. But they had no idea. Now I'm trying to think, how can we imagine this? How can we imagine them not understanding? Who's seen the movie The Sixth Sense? Okay, stick your hand up. Not too many of you, but I'll carry on with the illustration now, even though you don't know. Who's seen the movie The Sixth Sense more than once? Of the people who have seen it more than once, who thinks it's a completely different movie the second time round? Hands still staying up. Okay, go home, rent The Sixth Sense, go and watch it a second time, then you'll understand that illustration that only about 5 people got. There we go. In the movie The Sixth Sense, when you watch it the second time, it's a completely different movie. I won't spoil it for you. It's a completely different movie. You suddenly understand everything that is going on. The first time that you watch it, it's just happening and you don't really get it. And it's like this. Just like this for those two disciples. They don't realize what's going on. They don't realize Jesus is walking with them. And as they walk with him, the 7 miles, they have this encounter. And the encounter ends, as we heard in the story, ends with them suddenly realizing who Jesus is. So let's go and have a look at three main points in this encounter that will talk to us about our encountering with Jesus. So stage one. And we can see this in verse 14, okay? And it's going to come up on screen. You can also see it in your Bibles, page 1061. They were talking with each... other about everything that had happened. So we begin with the disciples walking along the road, and like normal people, when they walk, when they go out for a stroll, they don't just sort of... They're talking and discussing. So we see very clearly that their encounter with Jesus begins at the place where they've got to so far. Now you may think that, Peter, that's obvious. That's blindingly obvious. But sometimes we think that in order to know Jesus, in order to understand something about Jesus, we have to have reached a certain point. We have to have lived in a certain way. We have to have, say, attended church so many times a year, something like that. And actually what we see here is that the disciples, these two disciples on the road, they simply bring themselves with all their confusion, all their we have no idea what is going on, they bring that to their encounter with Jesus. And look at the words that they talk about Jesus, okay? They call him a prophet, powerful in word and deed. So some things they think they're pretty clear about. This guy who's just died was no ordinary man. But other things they're completely confused about. Everything that they've heard about this morning so far has completely confused them. They have no idea what the women are talking about. It doesn't make sense. When you put somebody in a tomb when they're dead, they stay in the tomb. When you kill somebody, they stay dead. It's a scientific fact. I can empirically demonstrate it for you this morning, but I think I get into trouble with the police. So I won't ask for volunteers, okay? But we know this. People die, they stay dead. So they're confused. There's some things that they're kind of clear about. There are other things that they don't get. Let's think about ourselves. Does this sound a bit familiar with where we might be with our understanding of Jesus? Let me ask you a question. Where are you in your encounter with Jesus? What do you know about him? Are you confused? And here's the question. Do you want to know more? Or are you simply not bothered? The disciples, these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they wanted to know more. That's why they were talking. They were interested. They wanted to work it out. Is that you? Let's look at stage two. Stage two takes us much further forward in the story. We're going to leap to verse 27. They're talking, and it says, he, talking about Jesus, explained to them. You see, they wanted to work it out, and so they began to get the answer. Jesus explained to them everything that the Bible had said about him. All the stuff in the Bible where it had said, somebody is going to come who will be the Son of God, and he's going to suffer. And on the third day, he's going to rise again from the dead. And because the disciples are willing to know, they learn. You see, as Jesus starts talking to them, they don't go, oh, we don't want any of that religious rubbish. They don't go, that's just a load of bunkum. They want to know. They're confused, there are gaps missing, they want to know. And so they try and find out, and they ask this man what's going on. And you know, some of it's really interesting, some of it is challenging. Look at the words Jesus uses, okay? Here's the first one. How foolish are you? How slow of heart? He doesn't say to them, now just kind of take it easy. You might just have to think about this for a moment to let it settle in. Doesn't say, he calls them foolish. Jesus is challenging. He's saying, don't you get it? It's there in front of your eyes. It's there for you to see. He challenges them on their understanding of what should happen to Jesus. He says, did not the Christ have to suffer? He goes to the heart. He says, this thing that I've just been nailed up on, that has just killed me horribly, it's important. I had to suffer. If you think you can get away with a Jesus who's just nice and tells you nice things and blesses children and strokes animals and heals people and all that kind of fluffy, lovely Jesus that everybody talks about, you missed the point. Jesus said, did not the Christ have to suffer? What is going on this cross, Jesus says, is the most important thing. What I am doing there is the key to understanding what I am all about. So let's think about us. You see, our journeys with Jesus will change us. They will change us because as we discover the truth about Jesus and who he is and what he has done for us, we have got choices to make. We might even have to choose whether we want to continue to journey with him. So stage two for us is basically, are we willing to journey with him? I bet most of us are perfectly happy to journey with a Jesus who's fluffy and nice and blesses children and strokes rabbits and heals the blind and says nice things. You know, kind of Jesus says, be nice, because it's nice to be nice. But the Jesus who dies on the cross and says, I'm dying here because I am dying because of all the bad things you have done, makes us think, hang on a minute, Jesus is saying, I've done bad things. Ooh, I'm not sure I want to listen to that. So the question for us is, do we want to journey with Jesus? We need to get to grips with who he is. The disciple says he was a holy prophet. We need to ask ourselves, is he just a prophet or is he more than that? Jesus says, do not realize the Christ had to suffer. We need to ask ourselves, do we really understand why he had to die? Because if we believe that Jesus died for our sins, for our bad things, are we willing to say, I've done things wrong? Are we ready to be challenged by what Jesus says about our lives? And then I ask us, if we're not willing to be challenged, can we really pretend that we are on a journey with him? Are your friends the kind of people who stay with you when you say nice things to them, but when they do something majorly, disastrously wrong, and you say to them, you know what? That probably wasn't the best thing to do. Do you go, well, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore because you're just saying to me things which kind of make me feel bad? Or do we actually value a friendship with somebody who's prepared to say it to us straight? Because that's the kind of person we're dealing with in Jesus. He tells it to us straight as we journey with him. Are we willing to make that journey? So let's go to stage three. We're going through these really, really, really fast, but we're seeing the core points of this encounter with Jesus. Here's stage three. It's in verse 29. And it's these three little words. They get to the end of the day. They've been talking with Jesus. They're beginning to understand more. They don't realize yet exactly who he is. But they say these three words that change everything. Stay with us. Stay with us. Though they don't get it, though they still haven't realized it all, they invite this man to stay with them. They invite Jesus to stay with them. And just two verses later, as he takes the bread, as he breaks it like he broke it with them just 3 or 4 days earlier, the same meal that we read about in the first lesson, when he breaks the bread, Their eyes are opened and they recognize him. Suddenly, they understand who Jesus is. They get it. They realize he's not dead, he's alive. And they realize that that changes everything. It changes them. They are transformed. It is true. They realize. What about us? I think this is the scariest thing of all about an encounter with Jesus. This is the bit that before I became a Christian made me quake in my knees. Do we really want to have an encounter with Jesus? Because if we do, it will change everything. It will change everything. Will we invite him in? For the 8 weeks leading up to when I became a Christian, I was running away from Jesus as far as I could because I had this creeping sense of my badness. This creeping sense that suddenly I wasn't a good person at all. And I kept being reminded in my mind, you'll absolutely love this, I used to run the school tuck shop at school. And I stole money every single week. And I got off to university, I thought, I've left this behind me, I can move on, I can do this. And this was just creeping up on me. The idea that actually, despite all my nice appearances, despite all my doing good, I had done things wrong. And actually what was happening was that God was showing me that I wasn't the good person I thought I was. That I wasn't the perfect person that I thought he would like. And I suddenly realized in these 8 weeks to becoming a Christian that I had to deal with this. I had to bring myself as I was to God and say, I'm not perfect. I'm going to encounter you who are perfect. What do I do about it? So the question is, will we invite him in? Because I spent 8 weeks, the last 8 weeks before I became a Christian, absolutely determined not to invite him in because of the consequences. You see, a Christian is very simply someone who knows that Jesus lives with them and is being changed by him. When I finally said to Jesus, will you know me? Will you walk with me? Despite who I am, will you come and be with me? I began to change. The disciples change, don't they? As soon as these two men, as soon as they realize who Jesus is, as soon as they meet him, as soon as their eyes are opened, they change from being confused to being excited. They're suddenly, having decided to settle down for the night, they get up and they literally rush back to the city at night, which 2,000 years ago was not a good idea because they didn't have street lights and they couldn't see where they were going, and there were robbers and bandits. But it didn't matter. It was too important. They dropped everything to tell everybody else. Their meeting with Jesus was so important that everything changed. And my question, I guess, is this. Are you at that point yet? Are you at that point yet where your meeting with Jesus is so important that it affects and changes everything? One of the things that we do in baptism is that we bring, when we baptize a child, is that we bring a child up onto stage, and the parents and the godparents stand up and they say, we want Jesus to be important in this child's life. We want them to go onto a journey that will finish with them knowing Jesus. We want to make sure that that happens. That's why we're here this morning. But that challenge to be on a journey, it's a challenge to every single one of us. It is ultimately our choice. If we look right back at verse 17 in that reading, right back at the start, Jesus says, what are you discussing together as you walk along? What are you talking about? So I'm going to leave you with some questions. Question number one, what are you discussing? Or dare I say, who are you discussing? Are you serious about finding out who Jesus is? Are we serious about raising our families and telling our friends that Jesus is the most important person who ever, ever lived? Second question, who are you walking up? Can you say that Jesus is on the journey with you? Third question. And these seem really, really stupid, light questions, but actually they're really serious. Third question, where are you going? Where are you going? Because let me tell you, the journey with Jesus takes you somewhere utterly different than the journey without him. Where are you going? And fourth, what will you do if you actually get there? What will you do if you choose to discover who Jesus is and you open yourself up to the possibility that he is not just a man, that he is not just a nice guy who puts his hands on children and strokes bunnies and says nice things, but he is the Son of God who died for you and will change your life if you but bring your life to him? What will you do if you actually get to that point? Will you make the choice to live for Jesus, to journey with him, not just for a week, not just for a day, not just for 90 minutes on a Sunday morning, but for the rest of your life? I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to know more about Jesus. We want to know him ourselves. Lord, will you give us the desire, wherever we are on our journey, will you give us right now the desire to know more of Jesus, to discover who he is? And Lord, will you give us the courage that wherever that journey takes us, however challenging it is, we will let Jesus be Lord of our lives. Amen.